Stand back. There's a hurricane coming through.
Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com with us for the next hour, talking all things Tennessee Titans and Titans minicamp. We'll take your questions for PK, 615-737-1025 on our text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit FirstHorizon.com/get it all. PK, Jeffrey Simmons on the field yesterday, as expected, as mandatory minicamp gets underway. He was asked about his decision to not show up for the voluntary portion of the OTAs and talked about how it was a personal decision that he made, and used that phrase, personal decision, several times. So what did you make of Simmons, the way he handled that yesterday, and his explanation for not being there for OTAs?
I mean, he could have had a more polished, prepared answer, knowing that that was going to be something that was on the defensive right out of the gate. Offered it up, really, before he took a question on it, which I just thought the whole thing was kind of telling. But that wasn't my biggest issue with Simmons yesterday. I mean, here you have an off season of really concentrated, nuanced leadership development that is Brian Callahan's, one of the main features of a very structured off season. Jeff Simmons, it felt to me, came barging into that, and he wanted to announce that he was back, and he did so by nonsensical trash talk yelling. And so
on the field.
Yeah. Amid all of this nuance, his thing was to scream, "Chuck, you guys are checking down a lot. Yeah, you sure are." And afterwards he was like, "Yeah, you know, I was talking trash to Cam and Cam was talking trash back. I heard, you know, Cam was a big trash talker." Cam wasn't doing a lot of trash talking, and Cam is not a loud voiced guy. I didn't hear Cam talking a lot. So he gave
you have
Cam
to be allowed to talk trash? Maybe he had some nice little jabs.
Well, that's fine.
He couldn't hear.
But he gave Cam something to respond to, and that to him was some kind of big test. And Cam checked off a box in Jeff Simmons' macho football world yesterday. And to Jeff, that was some sort of leadership accomplishment on Tuesday. Now, I didn't think it accomplishes anything except it lets Jeff walk in and do what Jeff's alpha leadership thing is, which, quite frankly, they've worked to revise and amplify and modify and improve. And he missed out on all of that. And so he's coming in with old leadership style, and everybody else has been working on new leadership style. And it's way over his head. Like, he doesn't get that. That's happened at all.
Okay. So I hear what you're saying, but so are you suggesting then that they want Jeff to come in and be like, "Hey guys, this is new me.
No.
Now we're gonna do a trust fall."
No,
right
no,
now.
Not
Cam.
A,
come on,
not at all.
Trust me, Cam.
Not at all. But he was way. I thought he was way more amplified yesterday. He came in and
but
put
that
on,
is him though. Right?
He came in and put on a performative show.
But that is him.
I'm here,
right?
Everybody. I'm going to make sure. I haven't been here for all of this stuff, so I'm going to do all the noise today that you didn't get from all of those days. I'm going to turn it up to 11, and afterwards we're gonna talk about it, and you know that I was here.
Yeah.
When you took attendance today, you didn't have to look for me because you heard.
But I would say I hear everything you're saying. I would also say that's his value, is like he brings the alpha, intense trash talk thing, right? Like, for better or for worse. I mean, there's a place for
it.
Well,
we know his value is not in, "Hey, you double team me all you want, I'm gonna beat you," like every other defensive tackle who draws a double team in the league. Have we heard any other defensive tackle in the league whine so regularly about double teams?
I don't
a lot
know.
Of double team.
Listen, I'm double teamed. I don't know what you want me to do. And this is partly the fault.
Who else in this league has ever double teamed?
Terrell Williams, who used to say that all the time. Yeah. Like he basically said, you know, when the guy's double teamed, he's not going to be particularly effective. I don't know if Tracy Rocker's saying that, but that is a bad mindset for a guy who numbers himself with the best defensive tackles in the league, who regularly find a way to disrupt despite being double teamed, rather than saying, after the game, don't look at my stats, go review the film and count the number of hands that are on me. I hope he's not teaching Tavondre Sweat to say that.
What did you make of, so Callahan talked in, you know, before the practice about him wanting to see Simmons finish off the quarterback more often, get the quarterback to the ground. He talked about the weight that he lost yesterday. Apparently, he's down to like three. He's lost like 20 pounds.
301, well, 301, right?
By the way, he's listed at 305. Right. So I did a story on this last week. So apparently, he played at what? 321 last year?
He's saying he played at 320, which certainly that happens, right?
No.
Yeah. So what do you make of all
that? But according to the Titans roster, he lost 4 pounds.
Okay. Well, keep that thing up to date a little bit better. So what do you make of all that, and do you think – that with that in the backdrop, that could allow him to be more effective at getting the quarterback to the ground and increasing the sack total this year, which last year was at 5. The year before that, 5.5.
Well, you know, thinner could make him quicker. I asked if there's any downside to it, and he said he didn't think so. And now you're getting older. He's 28, I think. You know, takes a little bit off the knees, which – you know, starts to become a concern at this stage of your career for guys in that position. So I think that's an encouraging thing. Certainly looks fit. And, you know, they've got to find ways to get to the passer, and he's got to be a key to that. And he and Sweat have to, if they're not getting to the quarterback, push the quarterback off the spot. They see it fewer mobile quarterbacks this year, so getting a guy off the spot will be less dangerous than it was last year, where sometimes moving a guy off the spot was not a good thing, and it led to if they had some success, it led to guys scampering for gains against them instead of running into trouble. But the edge pass rush is such a concern that I could see still frustrations resulting from moving a guy off the spot.
You know, this Jeff discussion, by the way, I mean, if you were concerned that, like, the question you asked in place of Terry yesterday was going to make Jeff dislike you, I mean, he dislikes you plenty already.
Oh,
you continue to, you know, ensure that. But we did have a point
brought up. Honesty kills me.
PK, that I thought was a good point, which is, you know, look, there are plenty of fair criticisms of Jeff. I do think that a lot of what we have seen is just a guy not reacting well to watching a team completely dissolve around him, right? And I'm not saying he should have sympathy for that, but I do, like if I'm Jeff Simmons, I'm sick of this crap. And even though his level of play has not been the same really since midway through the 2022 season, he's still one of the best players on the team. He is. He is a good football player. They have very few of them. They have less and less of them in the last few years around him. And I don't. You may disagree with me on this. For all that he lacks in terms of, like, just say, you know, take the accountability after, you know, he's not very good with that stuff.
Stop talking about the double teams.
Stop talking about the double teams. I do think the guy absolutely hates losing.
Oh, yeah.
At a high level, maybe a higher level than some people. And so I think that this is also – I'm just saying, some of it is not his fault. He is on a trash team, and he's not reacting well to it.
He's on a trash team, and he's not reacting well to it. I agree with that entirely. Delanie Walker was on a trash team and didn't react well to it, and didn't react well to it in a much better way, I think.
Like in, you're talking about like 2015?
Yeah.
I mean, he was like their one.
He was the equivalent. Right?
I would agree with that.
And who handled it better?
That's the thing. At least Delanie Walker in that awful season had ridiculous numbers because all they could do was just get him the ball, true. Right? Like if Jeff Simmons has a 12-sack year on a terrible defense, you know, then that would be like the equivalent, right?
Yeah.
Production-wise.
Let's head back.
Also, I think as team spokesman, Delanie Walker was better made for it.
Well, sure.
I would.
A lot of people are.
Totally agree with that. Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Ed to the program. Ed, good morning.
Edward.
Thank you for calling in.
Good morning. Hey, Joe. How are you?
Hi, Ed. Good. Have you watched any Bob Cousy? You can tell me he'd be averaging a triple-double today?
Yeah. I just, I just turned on the tape and just finished watching it.
George Mikan would crush these dudes.
I'll save the Luka Dennis Johnson comparisons till later.
Oh, good
Listen,
God.
I want to talk about Simmons. I think this leadership stuff is a little overblown. I think it's about wins. You get a quarterback that starts winning. The same players that you called awful leaders will be on the team that starts winning, and now all of a sudden they're leaders. My opinion on Jeff Simmons is I was glad he wasn't there. You hit a point, PK. I wonder what he's telling Tavondre Sweat. How is he mentoring him? So if he's not there during the offseason program, maybe there's an opportunity for somebody else to step up to be a leader of the team. I do think the leadership is overrated. If Cam Ward goes off, this team starts having success, I think nobody will be talking about leadership. So I don't know. We want new leaders to take place. We know Jeff's not a good leader. Fine. Then whatever he does on the field is to me the only thing that matters. The same way how I felt about Lawan. I just want him to keep his mouth shut and just go protect the quarterback. The stuff is a little overrated, and it's filling a segment in June.
Well,
best segment was when you had the hot mic on. I'm just saying.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You say he's not a good leader, but it's overrated. I don't know. I think you're kind of contradicting yourself. If Cam comes out and plays really well, everything will be solved. Well, if Cam comes out and plays real well, guess what he's going to be doing while he's playing really well?
Leading.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a little bit of chicken and egg on this. I still believe it's like culture. Yeah. It's like, well, if you have good players and you win more than you lose, I bet you your culture will be better because people aren't pissed all the time, right? Yeah. Whereas it's like, no, the culture created the winning. Yeah, you probably needed good players to create the winning more than the culture. But I agree with you. I mean, leadership is important, and I think they have a void. They need some other people to step in. Well, he's not going to do all the things. We were talking about Lawan earlier, actually. It's like Lawan was great after games, right? He would be honest about their sure, he was awesome, I thought, as a spokesman. Yeah. But then he had just trucked a dude like 5 seconds after a play.
Three personal fouls in the game.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So but some people are good in some areas of it.
But he was good post games in part because he was self-deprecating about those mistakes. Simmons has never raised his hand after a game.
Yeah. No, I agree. That is part of leadership. There's different elements of it.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More coming up next with Paul Kuharski. Got more of your questions to get to on our text line. We will do all that. Robbie and Rex Row, 1025-1063, the game.
I know what's wrong with Jeff.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Paul Kuharski with us for the remainder of the program, taking your thoughts on all things Tennessee Titans. So, PK, we talked about Cam Ward earlier. Jim Wyatt putting it out there that he completed 18 passes in a row to close out the practice yesterday after an early interception. I believe you referred to his play on Twitterverse yesterday as solid. What did you make of Cam Ward and his performance at day one of minicamp yesterday?
Well, I mean, we're looking for accuracy and efficiency in the post-Will Levis world, and so he certainly was accurate and efficient yesterday. Very much in the middle of the field. I didn't know that Cam Ward wasn't going to be available after practice yesterday when I asked that question about them work in the middle of the field with Callahan. That was my intention to write that story yesterday. So I'll be writing about that after Thursday's practice. I think he's solid is the right word. You know, he wasn't throwing a ton of checkdowns or anything like that, but he wasn't throwing a ton of deep stuff either. He very efficient and effective, working generally the middle of the field, mostly between the numbers and not with a lot of out-cutting stuff going toward the sideline. I think that's positive, but you know, I wouldn't put a ton of stock into the completion percentage. I mean, so you know, there are probably other days where he would have had those numbers if guys weren't dropping balls. So it was a good day for the catching as well as the throwing. He's on a good track right now. He got a lot more reps yesterday percentage-wise than he got in the other two practices we saw, I think. And arrows pointing up, but, you know, it wasn't a day to throw a parade over, I don't think.
Jared on the YouTube chat says, solid from PK is like a spectacular from someone else.
You know, I don't know if that's fair. It was solid.
Over the middle, that does sound, I mean, that sounds like what I think of as the Bengals offense, right? It's like a lot of using the middle of the field, a lot of short stuff, and then obviously you're taking your shots to the guys outside. But a lot of Ja'Marr Chase is, you know, get it and go and middle of the field, things like that. So I don't know.
His best throw was probably to Gunnar Helm, which was, you know, probably between the hash and the numbers or on the numbers. Very, very good zipped throw. The quick release is on display all the time. And, you know, I hesitate to – people shouldn't get too excited about the completion numbers. I think it's kind of, you know, we all take notes, you know, that are play-by-play notes. And so it's the nature to – but, I mean, overall, they threw – I think they completed 35 passes and there were only 8 incompletions, one of which was the interception that he threw to Barton, where Jefferson didn't necessarily help him out. He could have thrown a little better. Jefferson could have come back a little better. He could have looked off Barton a little better. But, you know, it was a very efficient quarterbacking day for everybody.
So
sounds like good D.
Do you think – yeah. Do you think we have reached the point, you know, you mentioned the reps pretty significantly taking a jump his way. Callahan talked about, you know, the reps that he needs moving forward now. Have we reached the point now of the offseason heading into training camp here in a little bit where, you know, the song and dance of all the equal reps is over at this point in your mind?
Well, I mean, what Callahan said, you know, we're going to give Cam the most reps because Cam has the furthest to go. Yeah. That I mean, that's pretty much saying the rookie quarterback needs to have the most reps. Also, he's going to be the star.
That's what I took from the conversation yesterday. Yeah, he needs the most reps because he's going to start and play for us. Thank you.
Still, after he earns them.
Still, you know, Levis is going first in some of that stuff. So it's just window dressing to me. You know, if he's going to have the vast majority of the reps, I don't see why you go through something that puts somebody else first. But it doesn't matter.
Got a few texts I want to get to at some point, but one I need to get to right now is, why does PK seem so much happier bitching about Big Jeff than talking about the good stuff? You seem a little depressed now that you're talking about positive things, PK. Do we need to have PK call the show?
I think there's a disease in this town and in every town where you take good developments from June and you forecast them into 9 wins.
You're preaching to the choir, buddy.
I think that's a problem. And so I don't think I turn depressed on it. I'm trying to be realistic. And I think this city's fallen for some June hype, particularly in recent years, only to be really disappointed, and I've fallen for a little bit of it, but I'm determined to be a June realist.
Would it cheer you up to have a little video of Big Jeff about to kill Andrew? Would that make you feel chipper? You're like, ooh, and I feel good again. Yeah.
No, that depresses me as well.
Andrew lived?
No, that the Titans, that Big Jeff, after that, and after spitting on Marshall Yanda, and after fighting in the tunnel with the Bills, says, that's not me. And the Titans say, you know what? We need to do giant posters of that guy all over town. That's our guy.
He's back.
That's a good now you've seen it's your energy.
Me.
Your energy is reignited.
Yeah, well, when you're angry about something, you tend to perk up a little bit. Is that not human nature?
Well, it's true. Certainly your nature. It's like you're kind of like the Emperor in, you know, Star Wars. Feed your hate, Lou. Let it flow through you.
You go ahead.
You need to work on your Palpatine a little bit.
That was pretty bad. Sorry, that was pretty bad.
Give him a Boston accent like you do with everything else.
You're wicked, wicked.
You go ahead, caller, and you go ahead, caller, and you get super excited about 20 out of 21 and convince yourself that that means you've got Rookie of the Year.
I'm trying to think of
what you have Rookie of the Year, but you don't have Rookie of the Year because of 20 of 21 on June 9th or whatever it was.
But it's still, like, some people would call that really good. Some people would call it, you know, you're not necessarily saying Rookie of the Year, but it's like, did you think it was really good? You know?
I thought it was solid.
There you go.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think
we trust you.
My favorite June moment was whenever Julio showed up and made that one, like, skydiving catch out there, and everybody's like, oh my God, Julio Jones. And then he made like 12 catches the rest of the year from the Titans.
No, his first, that mini camp first day, he cooked whoever. Who did he cook? He cooked somebody who was not good. But it was like, oh man.
Oh my gosh. Was it Trey Avery?
It might have been, actually.
Mike.
How much of that catch was Julio Jones and how much was Trey Avery?
615-737-1025. More to get to with PK coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz is always about great service. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com with us here on the program, taking your Titans questions and thoughts.
Hey, real quick, PK. So I know you were surprised to hear that Con Crows is good last night. They were really good. Maybe they've just matured from when you saw them. But
as the Black Crows have. The brothers Robinson made up, and they were good at Ascend a couple of years ago.
Okay, so sometimes it might be just maybe being a little bit less full of substances at some point in your life or whatever
could help.
So what's the Counting Crows lead singer
Adam Duritz?
So as you know, not the easiest on the eyes, you know, Adam Duritz. You know, I mean, he's kind of a goofy looking dude, and he comes out last night, and Katie's like, that dude has had Jennifer Aniston and Courtney Cox. And I was just like, I just raised my chicken scratch pilsner and said, here's a you, bro.
He's one of those guys that has a certain sort of appeal to a certain kind of woman.
I guess so. Thanks for the analysis.
I don't know what you want me to say.
That guy, he appeals to some women out there.
He does, apparently.
Good to know on that front. PK, what else stood out to you yesterday at Titans minicamp in day one that we have not talked to? Because basically we talked about the Jeffrey Simmons and Cam Ward.
Well, the shorthandedness of the receivers and the targets was part of Cam Ward's good day, certainly. Will Levis made one really good throw, and he made one really bad throw. He kind of had, more broadly, some good highs and some bad lows. I can't remember who he threw to up the right side. A very, very pretty throw on a deep ball. And then he sent Julius Chestnut into a gesticulating attempt for a catch on what amounted to like a check down screenish pass. So a little inconsistent there, which fits.
Is consistent.
His MO. Got some... You know, I think sincere praise from Brian Callahan. I think maybe you played that earlier or discussed it.
Yep.
Tim Boyle got hardly anything, which is what Tim Boyle should be getting. So I think those are big. The other thing, you know, Daryl Baker hasn't been around, and I found out he had off-season shoulder surgery early. So in addition to – and this could be part of the completion stuff too. Jarvis Brownlee's not out there, and Daryl Baker's not out there. So we're seeing a lot of developmental cornerbacks getting time. Gabe Judy-Lawley's gotten a lot of time. Jalen Kimber, an undrafted, has gotten a lot of time. Jamari Harris has gotten a lot of time. I wrote about him last week, and he got a lot of praise from Tony Oden, the new defensive backs coach. So that could be part of Cam Ward's success also, is that the defensive backs are, you know, kind of patchwork and a lot of new.
Defensive questions for you. Austin, about Jermaine Pratt, still an option. If not, who's out there? Cody wants to know if Femi made any noise.
Femi disappeared early in this practice, so we don't know what's up with him. Jermaine Pratt, I think they took a look at and decided against pursuing, at least for now. I think he's 30 or 30-ish and not as fast as they would like. If they upgrade that spot, it'll be with somebody younger and faster. And I don't think younger and faster guys are on the market at this time.
Right.
So if they find somebody there, it would be more likely cuts at the end of camp, and that will mean that Williams and Gray and Orji, they keep mentioning Orji as the third guy there. Otis Reese hasn't been mentioned at all anytime there. They're talking about the position. They list Gray, Williams, and Orji.
Yep.
So it seems like those are the three contenders for the spot. So I think those guys will have to do very poorly to send the Titans looking for a young, fast guy later.
BK, you wrote about Xavier Restrepo yesterday at paulkuharski.com. A lot of conversation about him in the aftermath of the practice yesterday. What did you take away from him, and as you get to watch him more and more, what do you make of kind of where he's at in his standing right now moving into camp?
He ran higher, so he had the most chances with Ward. He caught 6 passes, 4 of them from Ward. The connection is, feels pretty automatic, but people are going to run with that. I mean,
I'm feeling pretty good about my prediction right now. Mm-hmm.
The guys, if he's going to make it, and look, he's a good football player. But if he's going to make it, he's going to make it off a very narrow role. I don't think he's going to be the punt returner, because he can catch punts, but he's not going to give you a dynamic return element. And, God, they need a dynamic return element. So I can't see him being a returner. He's not a coverage type of guy. If you're putting wide receivers out there to cover, you need faster receivers than he is. So then he's a slot only. Now, if things pan out like they like, Lockett's going to be the primary slot, and DK would be a factor in the slot. So how can you keep a third guy who's only a slot? It's a very difficult roster game. If James Prochet makes the team as the returner, Restrepo has zero chance. Because Prochet wouldn't be, would be
unless they go to 7 and sacrifice elsewhere, yeah. Right?
But if you go to 7 and you have Prochet, who's not going to play much receiver and is going to be the returner, and you're dedicating a spot to him, and he's going to be on the game day 48, then how would Restrepo ever be on the game day? So I think he really needs other people to fail, in addition to him being very good, to make the 53, or some injuries to happen. I still think the most likely scenario is that he's a practice squad guy who, then maybe through injuries and stuff gets an opportunity during the season, and is more about 2026 if Lockett isn't a guy that winds up here for more than a year. But he's obviously, people are fascinated by him, and he's going to be one of the top storylines through this camp.
Yeah, keep hating, bro.
I put up.
I can hear your excitement and with your.
This is fascinating to me. You can look at the metrics sometimes on your stuff, and I put up. This isn't off yesterday's practice. It's off last week's practice. I put up like a minute 26 clip of a wide receiver individual drill, and the analytics told me it dropped off. The audience dropped off hugely at 37 seconds, and I went and looked at it. At 37 seconds, Restrepo went off the screen at the end of his rep.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a little weird now. Like a little much.
We talked about this. Like, there's a – for some reason, a heavy amount of interest in him heading into all this as an undrafted free agent.
I mean, I like the signing. It's a good signing.
I agree.
He's a good player, but yeah, why is
why are you
that
more,
just shows you how few players on this team are of any
get you
interest.
Any,
it's also
sort of
the yeah. name recognition from college. But
sure.
I, if you're a Titans fan, I would be more interested in DK and Iyo Manor.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't understand why you're not. I'm advising you, and I think everybody out there would advise you to take more heed of what they're doing.
I mean, we talked about the numbers game the other day. I mean, to me, there are four wide receivers at least that are locks, right? Like, I mean, Lockett, Ridley, and the two fourth-rounders that you just drafted.
You would assume, yeah.
I mean, Van Jefferson has been in the league for a while now at this point.
I mean, he looks the part, and I think he's doing what's asked of him. He's not going to be a high-volume guy.
But that would be five.
I mean,
if you
I think
include
people
him.
Think that Restrepo is going to be a high volume guy. Well, to be a high volume guy, you got to have high volume reps.
Yeah, I mean, anybody who thinks that is a little overboard.
But even on a limited roster with not a whole lot at wide receiver, like you're already the at least four, maybe five guys that are on the team right now, and you're talking about one spot maybe. For Restrepo at that point.
And I've got people tweeting me like, oh, you know, 40 catches, 400 yards, two or three touchdowns. I mean, that's a lot.
That's injuries. I don't. Injuries are the only way that happens.
Yeah, and I don't think Mason Kinsey just goes away.
Yeah, I would agree.
There you go.
I mean, I would like him to just go away. I mean, look, I'm not anti-Mason Kinsey. I like the guy, and I appreciate what he's done. It's really admirable what
yes.
he's done.
But please go away.
Well, it's time for the receiver
but
room
you know,
to not make him a factor.
Yes,
though.
You yeah. know what his ceiling is, and if you can't get beyond his ceiling, that's really a poor roster-building job after all this time.
So,
do you not agree with that, Joe?
Yes. So,
aha! Oh, Joe, it's anti-Mason Kinsey. Mark that down.
No, so
a moment in time here on the show, 8:41, so June the 11th.
The distinguished gentleman on YouTube says, and this is on the Restrepo front, he won't clear waivers if they put him on the practice squad. He's as good as gone. So, again, you are saying, distinguished gentleman, that there's a team out there that is putting him on their active roster immediately. I'm not saying I know for sure he would clear waivers, but if I had to bet right now, I would think it's more likely than not that he would.
And by the way,
I was told he had a brutal combine.
Yeah.
Brutal. So this is what teams are looking at. They're not watching him practice with the Titans right now.
Well,
they're going they made a judgment on him based on their interviews and their stuff. They didn't draft him.
Now, preseason
they watched
games
his combine.
Matter.
Preseason games will matter, but he's going to light it up against third string, you know, defensive backs and everything. I just think this market tends to overrate. I mean, keep in mind, this market thought, you've got the name, you had that story up. I mean, this market thought Byron Ealy was unbelievable and Trey McBride. Now, this guy's got a better pedigree than those guys, but this market also has a tremendous habit of loving the underdog receiver and insisting he's going to be tremendous.
My younger days, I used to say, hey, get Lavelle Hawkins on the field as much as humanly possible. Get him the football.
Nice.
Didn't work out so well.
Yeah, I mean, every market has guys like that, right? And sometimes, like, you know, you talk about someone out of nowhere, the Titans saw playing preseason games and were like, yep, I actually like this guy. It's Khalif Raymond, right? And he actually turned into out of
but
absolutely nowhere.
Khalif Raymond, Drew Bennett.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's more likely than not. It's not going to work, but it does sometimes work out.
I want to congratulate Kuharsky on his use of the word gesticulating earlier in the show.
Thank you.
Good stuff there.
Here's a list.
It seems dirty.
Byron Ealy, Trey McBride, Deontay Burnett, Cam Batson, Reggie Roberson, and Mason Kinsey. These all were going to be Titans, you know, huge finds that were going to be producers.
Yeah. Thank goodness you could get a huge in there.
You're welcome. And a gesticulate.
Yeah, gesticulating, by the way, the definition, use gestures, especially dramatic ones, instead of speaking or to emphasize one's words. Gesticulating.
All right, well, so, that's it's misused then because he wasn't trying to say something.
So Paul does this before he starts talking. Premature gesticulation.
When Vrabel got all over Rex Road for what he was doing with his hands, Rex Road was gesticulating in the press conference.
But Julius Chestnut was not gesticulating. He was merely trying to catch a really poorly thrown ball by Will Levis. He wasn't saying anything.
615-737-1025.
Maybe in his head he was. What the hell is that?
Can you throw me an accurate pass? One more segment with PK coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Yeah, this text was asked, why don't we have some Robbie and Rex Road?
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. We got a pair of tickets to give away to Holiday World and Splash and Safari in Santa Claus, Indiana. Take a road trip to Holiday World and Splash and Safari. Get tickets at holidayworld.com. Be caller 5, 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a pair of tickets to Holiday World and Splash and Safari, which I can vouch for. A great time out there, so make sure you hit us up, 615-737-1025. So, PK, we're going to be wrapping up minicamp this week. Then the summer comes, and before you know it, training camp right around the corner for the Tennessee Titans. So we've talked a lot about some of the storylines at receiver and some of the storylines with Jeffrey Simmons and Cam Ward. On the defensive side of the ball, as we're looking at where they are with L'Jarius Sneed, with their corner group, you mentioned some of the injuries and that they're dealing with right now. How do you feel about their group at corner? With Sneed and without Sneed, based on the roster currently constructed?
I mean, I think some of these young guys that I mentioned seem promising. Jamari Harris and Ross, they've paid decent bonuses to these guys. I think they really wanted to get back end depth there to give themselves some options. Daryl Baker, you know, has been out with this shoulder. I thought he was a pretty good find last year in addition to Brownlee. And I think Denard Wilson is really good with defensive backs. So I think they've got a chance to be a good defensive backfield group. I think Winston can find his way on the field, the third-round pick, as maybe a nickel or a dime, if he's one of the best guys they have back there to go with Hooker and Woods. I'm less concerned about that than a lot of other things on defense. I wrote this week, if your second inside linebacker is the worst spot on your base 11, well, they've been that way with some pretty good defenses. Not that I think this is going to be a good defense, but I can live with that. You know,
I would agree.
Edge is way more of a important problem. And so, you know, and even though I feel all right about the defensive backs with the weakness at edge, you know, if you're not rushing the passer, those guys can only cover for so long and they're going to be doomed.
How do we feel about McCreary, his contract situation heading into this year? Is that a no-brainer in your mind that gets done at some point here with the Titans?
I think McCreary, you know, his numbers on those analytics stats are not great, but he seemed like a pretty good player to me. And, you know, I know they have other guys that can roll through the slot now, but I think McCreary should be a longer-term fixture inside there. Now, it comes down to how they value what kind of number they put on nickelback. And what the market is for nickelback there. We've seen some guys, you know, just get priced out. Alteron Verner wasn't necessarily a nickel, but he played good cornerback for the Titans, and then Tampa Bay just offered him money that was like, the Titans were like, well, we're not paying that.
Yeah, my thing is, you know, you want to keep some guys known commodities and pay them and not just go overpay for someone from somewhere else that you know less about. And also, he can bump outside. You've got all kinds of questions about availability at your outside spots. Unless it's just a ridiculous expectation on the part of his camp, I think it is a no-brainer. I think it should be a no-brainer.
And they don't want to have to shop for veteran free agent replacements.
Right.
I mean, especially not that cost.
Right.
So, yeah, I agree. I think he should be back. I think he's a good locker room guy. He's a buy-in guy, all of that stuff. So I would hope he's around. They need, as Joe's saying, some level of consistency year to year. It's
some second like contracts.
43% or 47% of guys back. That number needs to slow down a little bit in terms of the year-to-year turnover.
Joe, a big fan of Nickelback. PK, your thoughts on what Brian Callahan had to say on the Tajay Spears front yesterday in terms of his offseason to this point, maybe dealing with some stuff last year, both from an injury standpoint and from a personal standpoint. And it seemed like he was in very good spirits about Tajay Spears yesterday at his press conference.
Let's see it. Go out there and do something and show me. I mean, if he had something personal going on, I'd feel badly for him. And, you know, you always hope a guy can put that stuff aside and perform. If it slowed him down, that's unfortunate. But I'm not a big believer. I hope he can go out there and do things. I think he's very effective in space catching the ball. I don't think they put him in that situation frequently enough. But I don't have much belief in him as the number two back in this, and I'd rather see more Pollard.
Yeah, I can't disagree with what we saw last year. I did think that the comment from Callahan was a little, it was beyond just, hey, guy had a great offseason and we're excited and he's doing great stuff. Like, I thought it was interesting. Without knowing exactly what he's talking about, maybe it helps explain a little bit last year, or maybe, you know, something else going on that we, because I was surprised, PK, that he was as ineffective as he was last year after what we saw his rookie season. I actually thought Spears and Pollard was a good, like a competition, and obviously it turned out to be very lopsided. So I do wonder if maybe there's a little bounce back coming there.
I thought it was oversold as a competition. I think Spears is a change up or third down guy. And that draft spot is a big price to pay.
Sure.
For, you know, and they've done this too much with kind of role playing people inside the top three rounds, particularly third round.
Would you like to fire Rand again?
But I would, yeah.
Hashtag let Rand be blamed for everything.
Well,
great hashtag.
Was his guy. I hope they get something out of him here, but, you know, I could see Mullings, you know, totally different situational guy, but I'd rather see Mullings dig into Pollard than Spears if Spears isn't significantly better than he was last year.
PK, did you run into people taking some shots at Treylon Burks yesterday? I saw your tweet where apparently
Every time I put out a receiver video, everybody's like, man, Burks looks horrible. And I'm no fan of Burks, and I don't think Burks is going to be around. But I think people need to be aware that Burks is like, it's surprising that Burks is doing as much as he's doing where he is on a timeline coming back from ACL. And he's at the back of the line, and he's clearly not 100%. So if you're saying, man, Burks looks bad in those, I think it deserves to be, hey, Burks looks bad in those, but he's not all the way back from ACL repair.
Look at you being so positive and fair with people. You
get, was my voice bright enough while I was talking about something happy?
Quick, get him mad again. We'll get him going here.
Who are the top, since we, you know, round it back to the beginning, who are the, take Cam Ward out of it, take Jeff Simmons out of it, three people who are leaders on this team?
Joe asked you a question with 30 seconds left.
I think Cody Barton. I think Cody Barton's going to be a big leader on this team. I think Kevin Zeitler is going to be a big leader on this team.
There's two. We got two. Do we have a third?
I think Lockett will wind up being a big leader on this
team. Very good.
Team.
Yeah. Very well done.
All
there.
Imported veterans. Nothing homegrown, which is a problem.
PK, thank you, sir. Way to be negative at the very end.
Yeah, good to be with you. Don't block the box. Please lock your locks. Read paulkowarski.com.
Chase and Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.